Hello, so this is Gabriela. I'm going to talk to you today about the integration of Cosmos DB and Azure Functions. These are the two most favorite products that I have from Azure, and I think this is very interesting. I'm sure you will be very interested in trying this out. So a little bit about myself. I'm a senior software engineer. I've been doing software for about like 10 years now, and I love doing applications for cloud. Lately, I have been using Azure like 2 years, around 2 years, and the things that I enjoy the most is doing serverless applications. So today I'm going to be talking with you about serverless applications and Cosmos DB. And I hope that this will be interesting for you, and also you will have some coding, of course. If you want to get in touch with me, you can follow me on Twitter, where I'm always sharing things that I learn, things that I write about in Medium, and of course, some things about the new products in Azure. So hopefully you get in touch, you can get in touch there. And in Medium, where I write about cloud too. So the agenda for today is we will give a little introduction to what is Cosmos DB, just for the people that perhaps haven't had the chance to try this product. We will have a little bit about information in general about what is Cosmos DB. And after that, we will get into the talk about bindings and trigger, a little bit of concepts, just to have clear what is the difference between bindings and triggers, which is how we integrate Azure Functions and Cosmos DB. And then, of course, we will get to the code with a demo about solving a problem with where we will be using Azure Functions and bindings, triggers, and Cosmos DB. And we will talk about some advices that I have for you if you want to scale your application to so you can be aware of what are the things that you need to take care of, or what are the things that you perhaps the challenges that you will have if when having this application in a higher scale. And so, of course, some redundant resources. If you want to get into more details about this, these two products, of course, I will share some other links and resources that you can use. If you want to download the code to follow along the tutorial of the demo, you can go to this URL and get the slides and the code, so you can try it out in your local machine too. So what is Azure Cosmos DB? So first of all, it's a massively scaled database. So this means that you have the horizontal partitioning with the product of Cosmos DB for your containers, and this allows you to have a always endless space for your data. So you don't have to worry about getting out of space for your data. So Cosmos DB takes care about adding more containers because of the horizontal partitioning feature that it has. And it's also a fully managed database. So also the infrastructure is fully managed by the provider, by the cloud provider. So you don't have also to worry never about how you need to provide or provision the infrastructure for the database. And last is the NoSQL database, which means that you are still going to use SQL, but it's a non-relational database. So you have a SQL API, but it's not relational. And also besides that, we have notebooks in Azure, which is something that perhaps from other platforms or other tools, for example, Python, you have notebooks. So notebooks are also available in Azure. You can use also with C# for visualizing data from your database from Cosmos DB. And you have also the serverless consumption plan, which is based on what you applications consume of the resources or request units from the database, it's still in preview, but you can still you can start trying it out in this consumption plan. There is also 5 levels of consistency. You can choose between having eventual consistency and a strong consistency, depending on the strategy that you want to follow. You will need to take care of how many time, what is the time of the latency time that you want to manage, depending of the level of consistency that you want for your application. But you can have also a level of consistency based on request. So you can select one level of consistency by default, but you can override that based on request. So that's very flexible. And one of the features I think that it's also very interesting in Cosmos DB is that you can select what is the API that you want to use with your like the interface with your data. You can use the BSON documents format, which is for MongoDB. You can have key value pairs. For example, if you want to migrate data from Azure table storage, you can have also the table API. You can have graphs in, you can have a columnar schema, for example, to also for if you are familiar also with Cassandra, for example, you can use that API in your Cosmos database. And some other important features that we have is that you can select what are the regions that you want to replicate your data. Just by going to the platform, you can select what are the regions that you want for your application. And you don't have to worry about how to provide or what if you have to do any changes. You just have to select what are the regions that you want. Sorry. And also some feature that I have to mention is the horizontal partitioning. So every time that you that your data or your database is growing, the platform also adds more containers if it's needed. So you don't have to also, like I have mentioned, you don't have to worry about what is the space that your data is growing. So it's always there are always partitions that are added to you to your database by the platform. And the last thing that I want to mention is the service level agreement that you have with Cosmos DB. If you choose the distributed version, you will have 5 nines of availability or level of availability during the year. You have 52 minutes of downtime per year. It's a guarantee for that platform in the distributed version. So that makes Cosmos DB a very reliable product and database for really big applications or where you have to manage big data. I mean, that's what Cosmos DB is made. So finally, how can I get started if I want to start trying out Cosmos DB? The first thing that you can do is get an Azure 30-day free trial. You will have to, of course, register and get a subscription in Azure, but you get 30 days of free credits. And also, you can still, after that trial, you can still using the free tier of many services that are always free. And the second option is you can get a 30 days of Cosmos DB. For this option, you don't have to register. You also don't need a credit card. And it's totally free for Cosmos DB. Thank you. for local development, this is also an option there that it's very useful when you need to develop an application and you are starting to know how to use the platform and the APIs that you have. You can use an emulator in your local machine and you don't have to be connected to the cloud. Okay, and last thing that I want to mention is that you can get a free tier of Cosmos DB if you keep your database at this 5 gigabytes or 500 request unit, as long as your database don't go over of that level of size, you can get Cosmos by free. Okay, so for today's talk, this session, where I want you to get to know is this this feature with Cosmos DB and Azure Functions. You can get to use bindings or connectors that you can integrate with Cosmos DB and Azure Functions, and you know that we are using the serverless architectures here, and everything is around events. So with this approach based on event, you can integrate events from Azure Functions with data and replicate this data or add data to your Cosmos DB. So what is a binding? So binding, like I said, is a way to connect two resources, in this case, Cosmos DB and a function, by using parameters. Bindings are defined in two ways. You have input bindings, which are data that comes into the function, and output bindings, that is data that goes out and goes to the database from the function. You can have both. But those are a special type of bindings, and we're going to focus today in the input and output bindings. So data from bindings are provided as parameters, that we mentioned that. The input bindings are the data that the function receives, and the output is the data that the function sends. And the supported languages that we have, it's Java, JavaScript, and Python, C#, C# Script, and F#, and Java. Today, we're going to use C#. And last, I want to mention that triggers are very different than bindings. Bindings are just connectors between the function and the database. And triggers are the way that the function responds, or are the way that the function gets executed. So it's an event, and it's different when you have than when you have binding. So that's the main difference that I wanted to highlight, so you can get very clear what it's binding versus what it's a trigger. And here I have the just the official documentation where you can go more into details about what are the other bindings. Perhaps if you want to explore other services that provide these connectors, you can also check that out. Okay, so these are more details about the triggers. A function just have one trigger, of course, because a function just can respond based on one trigger. The triggers are always associated with data. And also one of the things that are very important about trigger is that we have a special feature in Cosmos DB, which is the change feed. The change feed is one of the features, I think, very powerful from Cosmos DB. It's very similar to a transaction log. It's where all the changes that you have in your database, all the data that it's inserted or the data that it gets modified, it's get recorded in this feed. And this feed can be consumed by other services as well. And we're going to see how many applications and possibilities about using all the data that gets recorded in these feeds can provide for make the applications more, we can create events based on the changes that we have in our data and many, many other things that we can use in a lot of areas or types of application. For example, Internet of Things can integrate with this change feed. We can use other services that can react to the changes that we have in our database with base in this change feed. So it's very interesting. It's a very powerful feature, and we are going to use it today using the Cosmos DB trigger. So this is a diagram about the change feed and a little bit about how this change feed integrates with other elements like Azure functions. So we have here in this diagram, we have the database, we have some functions that have some triggers, and just very, very normal, a very normal integration. But what happens when the change feed records all the changes that we have in our database, it's a very similar flow like the one that I'm going to present. So first, there is new data that gets into that function, and then the function sends the data to the database. At this in this same order, we have the leases container. This is a new container that it's recording all the changes that we have in our database, and in the order that these events are getting recorded. I mean, this is something that is ordered based on how or when are these events occurring or these changes. So it gets the log of the operation in this container. This is a special container for storing just these operations. And these changes feed also responds or triggers these changes to any service that is subscribed to listen to the changes that are happening in our database. So we can integrate the change feed with more services, even different services besides Cosmos DB. So it's a very powerful feature that provides, like I said, endless possibilities to solve a lot of changes of the applications that are based on events. So we're going to take a very very good overview about how the changes feed integrates when we are using Cosmos DB triggers. Okay, so there are these three steps. So let's get to the demo, let's get to the code. What we are going to do is trying to solve a problem or designing the solution that we're developing today. And we are going to use bindings and triggers. So what we want to accomplish is we have a mobile application, and this is used by our users. They introduce some data, and then they send this data to the cloud. They want to send them to a database, to our database, Cosmos DB, and then we have to save that data, and then we want to provide or we want to have this all this data available for another application. So that's the third requirement, and then we want to replicate the data that we save from our mobile application. we want to replicate this to another data container because we want to do some other processes with this data. So we have these four requirements. So let's see how we can use bindings and trigger to solve these requirements. So I made this this diagram where I try to graphically explain how all the components could be integrated. And so first we have at the left, we have our user that is writing or sending data with this mobile application. And the data can, so in this case, I want to have the data in a queue. So all the messages or the data can get to the queue, and then from there we will be taking the data to insert that messages or that data that we're going to extract to our database. And we're going to use a special type of trigger, which is connected to the queue. Then what we also want is after we save the data into the database or into our container, we are going to provide this data using another function. This other function will have a special binding, which is called the input binding, which is what we talked previously. And this function will query our container to provide that data to other services. That could be a mobile application, or perhaps it's going to be an API. Could be different things. But we are going to use bindings to query our database. And the last part is that we want to replicate the data to another container. So for that, we're going to use a Cosmos DB trigger. So that means that every time there is a new data, the changes feed is going to be monitoring the new data, or the changes that we have to our data is going to trigger that that data to our function, so we can replicate this data to our second container, because we want to replicate that and put that in another container for other services. So that's the solution that we want to implement today. So this is just the tools that we will be using. I'm going to be using some of the tools locally for development, so we can modify the code more easily. And there are some other that we're going to use in the cloud with Azure. So let's go to Visual Studio Code. And we are going to create a new application, new Azure Function application. I have the Azure Functions extensions, which help me to deploy all the application to the cloud. So that's one of the things that we want to install in our machine, on a local machine, when we want to develop, for having all the integration gone with Visual Studio Code. So let's create our application. We're going to create a new project. Okay, and we select a folder that we want to use for saving this. And in this case, I'm going to use C#. And the runtime is going to be Netcore 3. For the first function that I'm going to use is the queue trigger. Remember that we have our first element, or the solution. We want to have an application, a queue getting all the messages. So I'm going to use a queue trigger. And I'm going to name it here like read messages from queue. And let's use the name of, let's say that we have a web store. And that's the name for application, a namespace. And we're going to create a new file with the settings. And I'm going to use my subscription for having lately deployed the application. So I'm going to select the Azure subscription. And then we need to also keep in mind that we need a storage account for using our application in Azure Functions. So I'm going to use one that I already have created. Otherwise, if you have to create one, you can do that too. And I want to provide what is the name of the queue that I have. I'm going to keep this name, and later I'm going to see what is the name of the queue that I'm going to be using. And this is for debugging. I'm going to skip this for now. And we're creating the project. Okay, let's wait a little bit. It's creating the application and also is creating the function that we are going to use for the queue trigger. Okay, so it's done. So let's explore a little bit about the code that we have. We have this queue trigger, and we have the name of the trigger and also the connection that I'm going to use with the queue. Here is where we want to add our bindings. In this case, what we want is as soon as I have a message, a new message in the queue, I'm going to send this data to my Cosmos DB. So I'm going to add this binding here. So there is a special syntax, and there are some parameters that you can review for your reference in the documentations. So I'm going to just for doing this a little bit faster, I'm going to I have it here in my local machine already configured, and I'm going to add the second parameter with the binding. So this is the syntax that we have for the bindings. The first thing that we need to provide, of course, is the name of the database. The second thing is, what is the name of the container where my data is going to be stored for this case of the data? And the other parameter is the log, which is something that all the functions have, just to log all the errors or anything that we want to send to the log. So we have to get created. There are some changes here that we need to. We have some reference missings. We need to add that. And let's open a terminal, and we are going to add now the package that we need for the bindings, because we remember that we are using .NET and .NET Core, so we need to add the packages necessary for having all these libraries or SDK from Azure Functions. So here's the name of the package. Okay, I have it here. I'm going to copy that and paste it here. So I'm going to add this package to my application. I'm going to wait a little bit. Okay, so it's already added. And okay, everything goes well. And there are still some things that we need to take care of. So we have now a new type. We have a customer document. So I want to have the data that I get on the message, I want to have that in a special type, because I want to save that for a container that it will have customers, customer records or customer items. So I want to create a new type. Let's create a new folder for that. We're going to call this folder like models. And here's where we will have all the entities that we will be using with our application. We have the customers, okay? So we need to add that. Let's name it customer. And I have also prepared the code for this, so we can do this very quickly. So my customer has these properties. It has an ID, of course, has a customer name, has an address, and the total amount of the, let's say that the customer is shopping, doing some shopping, and we want to save the total of amount of this shopping. And I also want to take or keep tracking the address of the customer, because perhaps I want to do some later some other processes, and I'm going to also add an entity to save the address. So let's add also the address to our application, and it's just going to be something very simple for our case. Of course, this is just for demo purposes. This can be something that later you can add more properties. So of course, we have also an ID. We have a type, like I want to identify if the address is for perhaps for work, for house, etc. And I have the zip code of the address. Okay, so I have these two types that I'm going to use on my function. And so I need to add also the type here, right? Because I'm going to be using the type here. And so let me, we need to take care of some, the customer document type. Okay, I'm going to add it. Okay, it's a customer. Let me check that customer document. Okay, so I think I got, okay, here, this is the name of the parameter. Okay. So here is something that I want to emphasize about the output binding. Remember that we mentioned that we have bindings, input bindings and output bindings. So this is the data that it gets sent out of the function, and we're going to connect this function with the database, so that it adds this new record in the database. Okay, so here's them. Now we have all the usings that we need, and now what we want to do is adding the settings to the application. We need two settings, one or two connections. One is the Queue connection, and the other one is the Cosmos DB connection string. So those settings, I'm going to save them in my local setting JSON. Okay, and let me copy them just to make doing this quicker. So from Azure, you will get these two connections, and it's the Queue connection. It's where you will be creating. When you are creating a queue, you have a storage account, and from there you have the connection string that you will use with the queue. So this is the one that we'll be using, and the second is the connection for the database. So I have used both, and in this case, I'm using the queue in the cloud. You can also use the local emulator if you want, instead of using the one in the cloud, and without have to use a connection with a real service. So that's another way to work. So in this case, I'm trying to save a little bit of time to make the setup simpler. And so I have also the database created. So I'm going to show you. Let's go to the portal. And let's see a little bit about how the database is going to look. So we have two things that we want to accomplish. We want to save the data from our customers, that we are all those messages that we have from the queue are going to one container, which is the customer container. And the other container, we remember that the third requirement is to save the same data that we already save in the customer container, replicate that to another container. So I have created two containers, one with the which is the customers, and one for the other one, which I want to call shops, where let's imagine that we want to create a second one with this name. And this is a database. Okay, so we have these customers and we have the shops and the database created. Let's go back to Visual Studio Code. And we want to read from the queue and then save it in the database. So let's try this. Let's add this code. I have it ready here. Okay, let me just copy that. Okay, here it is. And I'm going to paste it here. So what we want to do is saving my message into a new item, which is the customer type. And I'm going to change, still I need to change the name for to make more sense. For example, we're saying that this is a customer, so I'm going to name here the customer message. And the second thing is I'm going to use the setting that I have added to my local setting, which is the connection to the queue. So let's copy that and put this on the connection parameter. So it's a queue connection, and then I'm going to change the name of the queue. Also, the queue in my case, it's, let's take a look at the platform in Azure. What is the name of the queue that I'm going to be using? I want to show you, perhaps it's going to be easier here. I want to show you the Azure Storage Explorer, which is a tool that you can use for the Azure storage account. And you can use this with the emulator. So you can either be using the real queue in the cloud, or you can create one locally. So in this case, I have one in the cloud already, and this is the one that I'm going to be using for this application. So it's called WebStore Queue. So the WebStore Queue is the name that I want to change here in the parameters. It's WebStore Queue. And then I need to... okay, so I have the customer name. It says that I need to add a customer name for the, let's say, customer. It's a customer name. Okay, so this is the same name. And here it's the name of the queue. Okay. Here it's the name of the queue. Okay, so here's the name, here's the item that I get from the queue. So I'm going to change this to customer message. And here is the customer message. I also have to change the type. In the case of the Q trigger, I can use the type of a string, because at the end in the Q it's just a message. It's just a string representation what the Q trigger has. But it's better if we can use a type. We have already defined a type, so it's the one that I'm going to use, so we can have already the correct properties and all that we want to use in this case, in this application. Okay, so that's all the codes and the changes that I need to do in this case for this function. So let's try this out and see if we get the results. So what we want is, we are going to be adding one message to the queue, and then what we want is to check that this message gets into the customer container. So that's what we want to. That's the goal for this. So let's run this function. Okay, it's starting. And so we want to, as soon as the application is starting to listen to this, to the queue, we will be adding manually. In this case, we're going to be adding manually. In a real situation, we will have an application sending the messages to the queue, but in this case, we are going to do that manually, and we are going to see how this function responds. Okay. So there is one more thing that I need to set in the settings that I completely forgot. So there is this web storage setting that we need to set when we are working with functions in our local development environment. And this is so the runtime knows where it has to execute the function. Okay, so I'm going to change this. Okay, let me try this. Let me get the configuration here. Should be okay. Web storage. Okay, let me change to the other application, and I have here the setting name. So it's use development storage. So this is sometimes it's not something that it's so obvious to use, because the template doesn't have this set it when it's created, when the application is created. So sometimes it's not so obvious to have this, but this is necessary to execute here in local development. So that's how it goes. And let's try this again. Just double check that I have the correct syntax, because I'm checking here. I have some red signs. Okay, it's because it was missing, but it's already there. So it's complete and web storage. Also, we are not going to be using this setting, but it's not an issue if you leave it. Okay, so let's try again. Okay. Okay, it's starting. Okay, let's wait a little bit more. It's starting. So the application, so this function, it's going to be using the Q trigger. Okay, so here we have the Q trigger. And I'm going to add a message here. in the queue. And I'm going to hit OK. OK. And the application, what it does, it is going to read this message and it's going to send that to the output binding that we already declared. And it's going to insert that in the Cosmos DB. Let's check here the customers, items. And we have the new item here. So it's the one that we send in the queue. So that's the way the Cosmos binding work. And we have now we need to create two more functions, one with the input binding and one with the Cosmos DB trigger. So I'm going to do this very quickly so we don't go over the time. And I'm going to stop the application. And I'm going to create just two more. One which is going to create one with the here we have a small wizard in Visual Studio Code, and so we can use that to the second function. We are going to use an HTTP trigger with an input binding. So the HTTP trigger is going to get the ID that I want to query from my database, and the input binding, it's going to provide that data to Cosmos DB so I can query the container. So that's what we are going to do. I'm going to create a function which has with a HTTP trigger, and I'm going to name it this like query database, query customers. Customers. Okay. And again, I'm going to use the same namespace. And it's going to be anonymous because we're not going to be using any authorization or anything for this function. And here it's the code that the wizard has. So I'm going to copy again the one that I have for the application so we can do this very quickly and see this working. Okay, so we have the query. And I'm going to copy from, okay. I'm going to copy the function. And I'm going to explain to you what are the changes that we are doing. So here is the HTTP trigger. That's the first parameter that we have. And then we have the input binding that it's the connector with the Cosmos DB. We have these parameters that we need to always use in a binding with a Cosmos DB. We of course need to provide the database name, the collection name, the connection string setting, the name of the setting that we use for the connection string. And one important thing is the partition key. In this case, I haven't talked in much details about partition key, but it's something that is very it's also very important. I'm sure that you will read about this if you start using Cosmos DB. When you create your container, you need to define what is the partition key that you want to use, and that is very important because when you are scaling, when your data it's going to be a scale, or the platform is going to create more partitions, and based on this partition key, it's going to create more containers. So you will want that your request units are evenly distributed across your partitions. So if you choose a bad partition key, it's probably that you won't have that evenly distribution. And this is a setting, or this is a configuration that cannot be changed later. So you won't have the chance to change that if you have unexpected results. So it's very important to have a good, to make this decision currently since the beginning. So that's the one that we are using here also in the Cosmos DB binding. And I also need to add the customer using for where is my class of customer, of the customer type. So I have added that. And one other thing that I want to mention is that the way that I am using the bindings are using the route parameter of the HTTP trigger. You can also use the query string if you want to use the query string instead of the route. And these are, I think, the most common ways of using the Cosmos DB input binding. But of course, I have included in the slides the links to the documentation where you can get more details about how you can, other ways that you can use the input binding. So what we want, what we are doing is just we get the ID that we want to query, that we want to check if they exist in the database, and just what we want to return is a not found error, or we want to return the customer item that we found in the database. So that's the only thing that it's doing this function. So we can execute the function to check that if this is working as expected. Let's do that. And what we need is just using any REST client or HTTP client to query this, to make a request to the function. So that's what that's the way that we need to do for testing this function. And we are just and checking the time, and here is the URL that we need to use for this case. Okay, so I'm going to use just Postman for opening this, and just want to show you how. Okay, in the meantime, that Postman application gets open, we can start adding the other function that we need to add. Remember that we want to add a Cosmos DB trigger function, that can react to we want to add a new item to a second container. So that's what we want. That's what we want the Cosmos DB trigger for. And so the Cosmos DB trigger will respond to the new customer and replicate that data to the other container that we want. Okay, so that's the idea with the last function that we need to create. So I'm going to create the function, and then we can check both functions how these are working. And just to save a little bit of time, I'm going to create a function, and I'm going to select from this list the Cosmos DB trigger, and I'm going to put replicate data to container. And again, I'm going to just use the same namespace. And we have already a setting for the Cosmos DB connection. So just select that. And the database name we have is Web Store. And the collection name that I want my trigger to monitor its customers. Correct. And we're creating that. Okay, let's give it a little bit of time. And we need to wait to this function be added. because we are not executing the application, so we cannot be able to we are not able to test any of the other functions. And but this is the code that the wizard has, or the template. And I want to just emphasize the parameters that you need. Of course, as the inputs, you have the database name, the collection name, the connection string. But there is one new element that we have mentioned before, and it's the list collection name. So the list collection name, we need to provide that to the function, so the function knows what is the container that the change feed is using. And so it's going to be monitoring that container, and so it's going to be reacting to all the changes that are happening in our database. So I'm going to, again, I'm going to save a little bit of time. I'm going to copy the code that I have already set up and explain to you what it does. And okay, so I'm going to copy that. And let's go over the code. So we want to remember that this function, it's going to be using the trigger, and it's going to be also using an output binding. Remember in the first function that we created, what was using an output binding to save some new document into Cosmos DB. So this one is using these two things, the trigger and the binding. So it's going to have all the elements that we have reviewed in the talk, and so in this way is how you can integrate with the changes feed and also with the bindings using this output binding with Azure function. And there is a new entity that I have added to the code, which is called shop. That's the one that we want to use for the other container. So that's one that I have already defined. So I'm not just going to add it to the project. And we will do this very quickly. And I have called this shop. Let's say like we have different stores and we want to add this new entities or these new items to our database. And then we need to add, of course, some usings that we have for the types. And we have another one here, the threading task, because in this case, the function can receive a list of documents that have been inserted or modified in our database. So it can be just one, or it can be more than one, and it's going to be inside of this list. And of course, we want this to do in an asynchronous way, to make it more, instead of blocking all the execution, the execution flow, we're going to be using an asynchronous way. And so I have added a task for the for adding all the items that are added to the customer container. Those are being replicated to the shop container that we have, because we remember that we have two. So this is this will be adding the data to the other container. So we have complete the functions using bindings and triggers, and so we can take a look of the code of how this is working. And we have Postman. Okay. Here I'm going to close that one and save. In the meantime that the application starts, I'm going to create a new request. Okay, let's wait for the for the application to start so we can test it out with the input binding, and then we can test out the trigger. And it's starting, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy the URL from the for the GET or for the HTTP trigger. And okay, I'm going to copy that. And here is here are all the placeholders of the parameters that we have already set in the function. So the collection name that we want to query is customer, and the partition key that we have in this case, it's the I set it the zip code of the address. So I'm going to be providing in the route the value of that zip code, and then what I have to provide is the ID of the item that I want to query. So I don't have the ID, so I need to check that in the database. And I'm going to copy this one, which is the only one that we have. And I'm going to paste this and hit send. Okay. And let's check. Okay, so this is the item that we have in the database. So it's working. It's querying the database in the cloud. And the other thing that we want to test is a Cosmos DB trigger, which is going to be reacting to a new item in the customer's container. So I'm going to create a second customer. I'm going to use the queue, because remember that we need to create the customer using the queue. I'm going to use another name. I'm going to use another. We can use another zip code just to differentiate that from the first one, and just changing something in the message. So we added that, and it's gone because the Azure functions take this message from the queue and process it. So we want to check now in the container what are the items that we created. So it's the second one that we added. So it's here. And also I want to check if my second container had the item that I also added in my function. Okay, so this one is not added. So perhaps we have, okay, perhaps we need something to set up in the Cosmos DB trigger. Let's check this out. So we have the web store, we have the Cosmos DB container, and it says leases container. It's created. Okay. So it seems like it says so trigger inserted one document, and then I don't see the message of the new records in the shop container. So something seems to be preventing to the Cosmos DB trigger to respond to this event. Let's try to check if there is any problem in the code. Q trigger. Okay. We can add a breakpoint here just to see Yeah, if the message, if the function is getting executed. Okay, one document, read message from the queue. Because it's working, but it didn't add any queues, any items to our container. So let's try to, we're going to add one more message, and let's try different week, and we can leave the other. Okay, let's change this. Okay, so it gets executed. Trigger function, Q trigger, and but I don't see the other trigger gets executed. Cosmos DB trigger, and it didn't. Also, the breakpoint it wasn't hit. Okay, so we're going to, okay, seems that I start the application, and then the third function was not started. So we can see here that we have just these two functions started, and perhaps I hit the start debugging before the other function was saved. I think so. Let's try again. Okay, start debugging. Okay, and we're going to see that the three functions get started, just to be sure that we're executing the three functions. So let's just wait for the output. And if we want, I want to just talk about how you want to deploy, how you will have to deploy this in Azure Functions. Okay, so it's not been, okay, for some reason, it's not being catched by the application. Let's see if the perhaps namespace, the namespace is fine. Web start functions and replicate. Okay, man, I think I missed and I removed the name of the function, so that must be the reason that is not being executed. Okay, that's a good thing to know. And I'm going to put the correct name, replicate data to container. Okay, so that's then now. I think everything is complete. Okay, so start debugging. So here I have the extension of Azure, and here with Visual Studio Code, it's very really easy to deploy your application to the cloud. It's just a matter of hitting this button here. You have your local project and you have the functions, and then you will have to deploy your application or your function. So everything that you need to have in the cloud to have this application deployed, you will get that created by this extension. So now I can see that, now the Cosmos DB trigger function is working, And let's just add, I'm going to refresh here. Let's add a new message just to have complete all the function tests locally. And then, and Frank and 9 an hour, that doesn't be whatever we want. Okay, so it's getting executed. Okay, first document, and then it's executed the other function that we have with the Cosmos trigger, replicate data to container. So that means that finally we have all three functions working. And what I don't see is the other messages. Okay, it's here. Documents modified. And let's see just in the portal that we have added something and the other items in the other container. So we have this one new. So that's the way the Cosmos DB trigger gets is using this changes feed mechanism or feature that we have in Cosmos DB. So it has endless possibilities. I mean, we have a very little time to talk about all the possibilities that you can have by using the chain feed. And I want to use the time to talk to you about some advices for managing a scaling of these applications, because I think these are very important to have. So one of the things that you need to keep in mind is that all the Azure Functions applications have some limits already, some limits that are defined by the depending on the plan that you have your application, the tier that you have in your subscription have different limits. I'm sorry. So there is a special controller that which is called the scale controller that is having this mechanism of scaling out or scaling in depending on different heuristics based on the services that your Azure function application is using. It's if it's a database, if it's a hub or a bus or another service that it's having, it's using resources that needs to be a scale along with the Azure functions. This scale controller, it's managing all the level of the scale that your application needs to use. But you need to be aware of what are these heuristics, so you can also be monitoring. For example, if you want to use the change feed, you need to be aware that the changes feed is processing all the changes that you have in your database that you are either if you are replicating or creating new events, so you don't miss any of the changes. Also, one thing that you need to take into account is that if there is any error during the Azure function execution that was triggered by a change, that if you don't manage the retries of these errors, if there is an exception, then that doesn't get executed, and then the event is missed. And you need to prepare your application to be resilient of these fails, or be prepared to manage an strategy where you don't miss any of the changes that you need to process. And also, you need to take, perhaps, you need to think about what are the execution limits that are better for your use case, because you don't want to overuse or having throttle scale that it's not good for your case. So it's something that I'm sure that this is a subject that needs to be review it with more detail, but I want you to know, I want you to explain this so you can be aware of this, of these challenges that you need to take care of when you are using the changes feed with Azure Functions. There are different strategies that you need to add to your applications for having these scaling in a good way that doesn't give you any missing data or unexpected results. So there is also a way to monitor the changes feed so you can know when your application is not at the same pace or rhythm that your changes feed are generating the events or the data. And this is also something that it's very good to have in your application. So the monitoring of the changes feed and how this is related with the dynamic scaling, because remember that applications and the Azure Functions can scale out and scale in as well. So this is going to be something that you will have to adjust based on events. For example, you can develop your own metrics if you want to use a queue, for example, where you can add events or messages to the queue, and based on metrics that perhaps the number of messages that have the queue, and you can adjust the numbers of the resources that your the instances that your function application is using. So that's something that it's very, very important to address. And just to mention what is the limit and the consumption plan, you have 200, and the premium plan, it's 100. So that doesn't mean that you need to use those limits. You can adjust these limits to your application or your special solution or your special case. And here these are some resources that I would like to share. Of course, this is in the slides. If you download the slides, and you can check this later to know how you can develop these strategies to manage unexpected results or exceptions while you are using the changes feed and Cosmos DB triggers or bindings in your applications. So thanks a lot for listening to this talk. I hope this was helpful and you can check this out if you want to try this Azure Functions with your Cosmos DB in Azure.